Amen. Praise the Lord. It is so good to see this number out this morning. So good to see each of you. I'm just thankful that you're here. I just want to welcome any of you that are first-timers. You only get to be a first-timer once, and then you're just one of us. That's what I tell everybody, and there's nobody here but us. So just make yourself at home, and I'm glad that you're here on this special occasion. This is my first time being able to have a baptismal service here at Mount Lebanon, and I'm excited about it. We didn't have to break any ice this morning or anything like that, so the candidates should be awful excited about that too. I remember when I was baptized, it was in October, and that was at Mountaindale. And so what they did there, and I know some of you know exactly where I'm talking about, they just piped the water in from the creek into a cement kind of basin back the, over there. And so it's pretty chilly. It's pretty cold. So I tested the water here, and they actually heat the water here. That's pretty nice. I'll say you guys have it made. You're pretty lucky. So I was talking to a couple of the candidates this morning, and I asked them if they were nervous, and they said, yeah. And I said, I'm nervous too. And I said, but don't be. Don't be. Again, there's nobody here but just you and the, you and me, just us, as I've said before. And it's just us, and we could either be nervous together or excited together. We might as well just be excited together. So just what an opportunity it is to be able to do this. Let's be turning to Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2. Many to be in prayer for. Missing a few this morning due to sickness and thinking about them and in the hospital. So let's be in prayer for them. Acts chapter number 2, we'll start out verse number 37, verses 37 through 41. And I just want to preach on the topic this morning of church membership. Church membership and what this is about, how one joins the church and why we're doing this. Why baptism? Why is it like this? Why do you do it the way that you do it? And like I've said before, here at the church, we follow the Bible. We take it literally. We follow what it says and do what it says or try to do what it says. But when it comes to things like this, we just want to follow the Lord's example that He's given to us. It's kind of do what He have us to do. And what I have for us this morning is the who, what, when, where, why, and how of baptism. You know, I think it's important that we answer those questions. Anytime a Christian gets asked something about the Bible, maybe why they believe the way they do or why they do what they do, I think they should have an answer for that. The beautiful thing about it is if we're studying in God's Word, He gives us all those answers. He lays those things out for us. And so I've said this before also, the secret is there's no secret. There's no hidden agenda, anything like that. This is what church membership is about. It's not reciting some words or some prayers or just getting a person's name on a registry somewhere, anything like that. This is the biblical definition of what church membership is about and how it happens. And this is a very important for us to see this and know this morning. Number one, before we pray, I just want to start out with the who. I want to start out with the who this morning. It's those who have accepted the gospel, and that's accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. I want you to think about this. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the most wide-reaching, inclusive invitation that has ever been. It doesn't exclude anyone. Everybody's welcome. You're welcome this morning. Maybe you have not accepted Jesus Christ, but I want you to know you can. Today could be your day. That's the who. That's the who. You think about that this morning, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for this day that You've given to us, Lord. And I know it's a little chilly outside, but it's so nice, Lord, to see that beautiful sunrise, that sunshine this morning, God. We're thankful for that. God, I just thank You so much for what today represents. Lord, I thank You for all that are able to be here today for this special occasion, family, friends, to see what has taken place. And God, I just think about all the answered prayers, God, that's been prayed throughout the years and prayed throughout different times, God. And I just think about the answered prayers that people are being able to rejoice in today. Lord, what rejoicing it is, God, when somebody accepts you in the free pardon of sin, God, that you made possible through your Son, Jesus Christ. A way that people could be saved and, Lord, be accepted by you if we'll repent, God, and trust in you and trust in the gospel, knowing that there's one mediator between man and God, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. Lord, we just thank you so much for all that you've done for us, God. God, I pray that you be with us today. Lead this service, God. Lord, get me out of the way, Lord. I just pray that your will be done here today. God, I pray that you speak to hearts. God, I know, Lord, there could be people here today that are lost. God, what a beautiful day to be saved, Lord. God, I pray for those today. God, I pray for our candidates today that are following you in believers' baptism. God, I just thank you so much for that. What a joy, what a privilege, and what an honor it is to be able to be here today and take part in this, God. Lord, I'm not worthy, but I'm thankful, Lord. Thankful to be counted with you and your people, God, here today. God, go with us, God, my heart, God, my mind, and my mouth, Lord. And I just ask that your will be done. And everything that's said and done here today, go with us, Lord, in the furtherance of this service, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. What an exciting time it is. So we see here some things that take place. And I said for us to start off in Acts chapter number 2. And this is back at the day of Pentecost. This is the result of Pentecost when the church was just in its infancy, getting ready to start. And you're starting to see a new way of life. You're leaving the dispensation of law, going into the dispensation of grace. And this is how, this is a template of how things were supposed to be in the New Testament church. And you see, after the gospel had gone out and people had been preaching, the called had been preaching, you see here people start accepting Christ. And how beautiful it is to see it in this way. Verse 37 here, as we start out in Acts chapter 2, it said, "And when they had heard this, they were pricked in their heart." I tell you, that's what the gospel should do to every single one of us. It should capture our heart. When you hear the gospel, start understanding what that means, that Jesus Christ went to the cross to die for our sins because we couldn't fulfill the law in and of ourselves. We're not able to do that. See, you and I need a Savior. We're none good, no, not one. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And how he came down after this here, after his crucifixion, after his ascension. You see, the preaching of the gospel was going out. And now when they had heard this, when they had heard the gospel, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do?" They fell under conviction, started accepting Jesus Christ. And this is what they said here in verse number 38. The answer was, "Then Peter said unto them, repent." He's saying, ask God for forgiveness. See, that's not a popular thing in this day and time. The way things are set up, people don't really like saying, "I'm sorry," but you know, that's part of it. Say, "Lord, I'm a sinner." What was it that Matthew said? What did he do when he beat on his chest? He said, "Lord, forgive me, a sinner." Isn't that what he said? Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. That's where he wants you to be. Told the class this morning, we were talking. I said, "Look, heard this week. Look, you don't have to beg and told God to save you. You just have to ask him. He will in no wise cast you out." His arms are like this morning. He's saying, "Come unto me." He's saying, "You don't have to argue and fuss and fight with me. You come to me. You repent of your sins. You come to me. You know what? I'll accept you." It's a guarantee. What a promise that is. It's not one of those things you kind of have to worry about. If you take a step toward God, his arms are open to you. I want you to know that this morning. He's saying, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." He's talking about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You know, under the law, if you go back and you read in the Old Testament different men of God and prophets, what have you, different things that they experienced during that time, it was saying the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson and the Spirit of the Lord came upon this person. See, they didn't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. They didn't know what that meant. They didn't understand that. But you know, in this day and time, in the age of grace, you and I can know what that's like. You think about, we're talking about prayer in Sunday school. You think about the power that we have through Jesus Christ, the blessing that we have, that we can go to Him and ask Him to guide us and help us in our lives. and we can feel them in our soul. Amen. I tell you, I've recounted this, Sister Kaylee, I don't know how many times I was thinking about the day that she came up and asked the Lord to save her. She, as we stood up, she said, "Can I hug you?" I said, "Please do." Amen. This is what it's all about. Amen. You think about life, everything that's going on in your life, the hustle and bustle about it. If that one thing is missing, you missed everything. And if you've got that one thing, you've got it all. Amen. Amen. You think about the beauty of that. If the worst thing that could happen to you is death, in the very next second, you're in heaven with the Father. Amen. Amen. That's powerful. That's something to be excited about. If you don't have that assurance this morning, you can. You can know. And Jesus wants you to know. Our Father wants you to know. And He's saying here, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It says, for the promise is unto you and unto your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words, He did testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And they gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. You imagine, this is again at the inception of the church and it was coming together. 3,000. Wouldn't it be nice to see a congregation like that? I'm tickled with this congregation. Hey man, there's a lot of people here this morning. 3,000 people. Verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. You know, that's a very important verse right there. You know, a lot of times different faiths, different religions, different things spring out and what have you. I tell you, I want you to know, I want to encourage every one of you here this morning to stay in the Word of God. Amen. So go ahead and just say amen right there. Stay in the Word of God. Don't follow after some kind of tradition. Don't follow after some kind of religion. Something that's out there somewhere. Follow behind the Word of God. Verse 42, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the doctrine, in the fellowship. That's what this is about. I'm telling you, if Jason goes off on his own, I'll lead you in the wrong direction. Everybody here has got an opinion. Amen. That don't mean it's right. We don't know everything. We don't have all this other knowledge and things like that some people think that they have. But I tell you what, if you've got the Word of God, you have what you need. And if you're following the Word of God and I'm following the Word of God, then you and I are walking together in fellowship and in unity. That's what He's talking about here, the importance of staying, as I've heard it said before, staying with the stuff. They stayed steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. What a picture of unity that you see here. And then it goes on to say, The furtherance of the unity that they had, and fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together. And all had things in common. See, they took care of each other. You think about the beauty of a church family and what that means to you. You've got family. You've got help. You've got people around you that want to be there for you, pray for you, and help take care of you. And that's what you're seeing symbolized here in the Bible. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily and with one accord in the temple and the breaking of and breaking bread from the house to house did eat their meat and with gladness and singleness of heart with unity. And look what happened. Now you see how all these things come together in verse number 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. You know, that's kind of interesting, isn't it? You almost see kind of a recipe how this is supposed to be ran, don't you? Isn't that something? You take care of each other and you look after each other the way the Lord said that you're supposed to. And you know what that does? That creates unity. And the bond of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible is teaching here. Just staying with the stuff, amen. And you look at Acts 8:12, you don't have to turn there. I'll read this here. It says, but when they believed, Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. They were baptized, both men and women. I want you to know something this morning. We can't get this thing out of order. And what I'm saying by that is, I had a fellow one time. He came to me and he asked me. He said, "Would you baptize me?" I said, "Well, I need to know a little bit more." I was like, What do you mean? What do you mean?" They didn't know what his beliefs were, what religion, anything like that. And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, I believe for a person to be saved, they have to be baptized." And I said, "Friend, I need to hear your testimony first. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you accepted him?" You see, you can line people up and you can baptize people and you'll be no better off than what you were before you went in. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. That's a scary thing. That's a worrisome thing. But I tell you here, you will not see that example given in the Bible. What you'll see is belief first. Amen. Belief first. You see, that's what he says here. But when they believed Philip preaching, see, they heard the gospel. They heard the gospel and they fell under conviction. They said, "Lord, save me, a sinner." And then by faith through grace, when they accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what? They then had a desire to be baptized. They then had the desire after that point. You're seeing this is the who, a candidate for baptism and for church membership number one. They have to have accepted the gospel and Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's priority number one. Amen. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and say this here. You know, the thief on the cross, the one who accepted the Lord, he wasn't baptized, but he's up there. Amen. 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 I want you to know that this morning. You say, "Preacher, you're a Baptist. You got me believing baptism." I do, but in the right order. We're going to see this morning what it means, the importance or the relevance of it. Let's go over to, let's just be turning to Acts chapter number 8 for just a minute. Just be turned to Acts chapter number 8. Number one, we see the who of baptism, those who have accepted Jesus Christ, those who have believed. Those who have heard the gospel, they've heard about the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they have accepted Him as their Savior. You can't believe the gospel if you haven't heard it. Yeah. Heard something said one time. I heard this, and it really troubled me. I heard it. Heard somebody say one time, "I believe that people who have not even called on the name of Jesus will be saved." And I said, "You're wrong. There's only one name under heaven whereby man must be saved, and that's Jesus Christ. He holds the key to the gate. If you don't know Him, you're not going to get in. I promise you that. He's the one who bled and died for us. He's the one who raised out His arms and died for us on the cross that we'd have a way in. You must know who Jesus Christ is." You see the who, now you see the what. You think about the word baptism in and of itself, what it means. I'm going to go a little Greek on you here. It says the Greek word baptizio, that means, that comes from the Greek word there, that means to dip or to immerse, to put under water or other fluid, to plunge, to dip, to sink or cover deep, to cover wholly. That means completely. That means all the way. You think that's important? You think that means anything? The reason I bring this up, you think about symbolism that we see in the Bible. Not to get things mixed up, but you know, this last Wednesday night we had a special prayer service for Brother Ben, and just as prescribed in James chapter number 5, and we had an anointing and then a time of prayer, but I want you to know there was no power in the oil itself. Do you know that? It's symbolism. Symbolism. See, we do a lot about symbolism. You look at baptism, you look at the Lord's Supper. There's things that we do based off of symbolism. And that's the two ordinances that we have in the New Testament church is baptism and the Lord's Supper. And we do this in remembrance of Him with the Lord's Supper that shows His death, His burial and resurrection, His bloodshed and His broken body. We do this in remembrance of Him. Baptism, you're going to see that it's also an illustration. And what it's talking about here. You know, when you think about when Jesus died, how many of you believe that He died wholly? Completely. There was no life left in him. After he left the cross, he was dead. Do you believe that this morning? That's one of the first parts of the gospel. You know what they did? They laid him in the tomb and they sealed the tomb because he was dead. Not partly dead. Not part of the way there. Not just a little of the way there. He was all the way there. He tasted death for every man so you and I wouldn't have to taste that. Amen. I'm talking about immortality of the soul that's going to spend eternity in heaven or hell one day. You see, Jesus Christ, he conquered death, hell, and the grave. See, that's what symbolism, that's what it talks about here about baptism. You see the importance of going all the way down underneath that water. See, his soul went down into a paradise. He preached to the captives in paradise. He was completely dead. But you know what? He rose again. Brother Ronnie, that's good, ain't it? You see, that's like when you go down into the water, you go down underneath it. You see, that's the importance of going all the way down and all the way back up. You know, that's what the Lord is asking you and I to do. On the inside, die to self. We go down. You go down, Jason. You come back regenerated, one with Christ. That's powerful. You see, he lets us have a service like this to show that symbolism. To show what it means. That's why I think it's important this morning, if you're going to do it like the Bible says, that you do it by immersion. You go all the way under and you go all the way back up. I believe that with all my heart. You see here, number one, the who. You see the what, the baptism. Number three, you see the when. When. Again, I say it's important that we don't get this out of order. We do it at the right time. I believe that there should be a desire for a person to want to be baptized after they're saved. I believe there should be a desire there. I'll give a personal piece of testimony here. I remember when I was very, very young, before I understood what being lost meant, before I really understood it, I was in a service, somebody came to me and said, if you want to be saved, all you have to do is go and ask him. And I didn't understand that I was lost. You need to understand that first. You have to know that you're lost and you need a Savior first. Once I realized that, things changed. But I remember that service, I went up and didn't know what to say, how to pray or anything, and just doing what everybody else was doing. But I didn't know. It hadn't hit me right here. But I want to tell you something. After I did get saved, I wanted to get baptized. I saw the importance at that time. I understood. I was like, hey, I want to do what Jesus did. I want to follow him in baptism. I see the importance. There was a longing on the inside. I'll say it like this. If you're saved, you should be able to agree with this and understand this. When you're saved and you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, when you do wrong, he's going to let you know. And when he wants you to do something a certain way, he's going to let you know. You're going to have a longing. You're going to have a desire. There's going to be something on the inside. Acts 8:36, it says, and as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. You remember the Ethiopian eunuch? Preached on him a few Sundays ago, and you remember they were talking about how to be saved. And you remember Philip was talking to him, and it said here, as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Here's water. I want to do this. I have a desire to do this. You see, that's an amazing thing that the Lord again has given to us to show. We're showing in like manner what he did for us. That is the example that is given here. We see also, I want to go on and say here, let's go to the where. Let's go to Matthew chapter number 3 for just a minute. Who, what, when, and where. Matthew chapter number 3, verses 13 through 17. You know, this was a conflicting thing for John to do. And I can see why. What an intimidating thing. One day he's standing there and he sees the Lord come and he says, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He sees him coming. And the next thing you know, Jesus is saying, I want you to baptize me. He's like, no, no, no. I have need that you baptize me. But you know, to set the example, Jesus Christ being the first fruits of the New Testament church, he set the example for you and I to follow. How precious it is to see this morning. Again, Matthew chapter number 3, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee unto Jordan, Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. He listened to him. He was obedient to the Lord. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he said, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him, and a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So you see here, Jesus Christ went down in the water and he came up himself, a foreshadowing of the gospel. I say it like this, if that's the way Jesus did it, would that not be the way you'd want to do it too? Just kind of do it like he did. I tell you, I don't know. I don't know where some of these traditions and things come from. Men get it wrong, I guess. But I just want to go ahead and say it. Sprinkling is not the biblical way. Infant baptism is not the biblical way. Infant doesn't know, have a mind to think about repentance. How could that be? How could that be? I tell you, you see the example that is given to us here, the importance of this. Down in the water, Jesus himself went down into the water. Why? Why all this? If you say a person can accept Christ and be saved prior to baptism, then why? Because it's commanded. The Bible commands us, Matthew chapter number 28. You'd like to turn there, I can show it to you. I like to show you in the Bible why I do what I do. It's important to me. I don't want people thinking I'm making things up as I go. I want you to see the template. The template is the Word of God. It's the guidebook. Matthew chapter number 28, verse 18 and 19. There at the end of the chapter. I remember when the Lord was calling me to preach, He used these verses to prick my heart to think about the importance of what the call of preaching, of being a preacher is to be and is to do. And it says here, And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. You see, this is talking about missions here. That's why I'm a part of a missionary Baptist church. I believe in missions. I believe in getting the word out, not just in my community, but in all communities. Unto all nations is what he says here. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. It's a commandment. See, that's the why. See, why are you doing this, preacher? Why are we doing this? Because the Bible tells us to. Jesus himself told us to. Him being the first fruits, him being the example. He told us to do this, and he gives a reason why. Now, I want us to turn to 1 Peter chapter number 3, and I'm going to close with this. 1 Peter chapter number 3. I think this right here, this scripture ties everything together. Going along with the why. With the why. It's an answer of a good conscience toward God. 1 Peter 3:21, it says, In the like figure. Now let me go back and read a little bit more. I'm going to read a little bit before this. I'm going to start around verse 17. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well doing than for evil doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. You see what he's saying here. You see what he actually did, what he physically did. Let me read this to us again. Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. He had the power to raise himself back up. By the which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. When he died and he went to paradise, he actually preached to those spirits. He actually preached to the Old Testament saints down in paradise before he lifted them and took them back to heaven with him during his ascension. When he took them back with him, I tell you, what a time that would have been to have seen that there, which sometime were distant or were disobedient. When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is eight, were saved by water. They were inside the ark. And that's what lifted them to safety. And this right here is talking about the like figure. This is what baptism is. It's a like figure. The like figure also, or the like figure whereinto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. But you see, it's the like figure. That's what it's talking about. We mean the like figure. That's what we were saying just a few minutes ago, what I was saying. You're talking about his death, his burial, and his resurrection. I want to say this to our candidates this morning also, the importance of what this is. It's a very special time. I'm excited about this. I want you to be excited about this. And again, I don't want you to be nervous. I know it's hard. I mean, you get up here and you see all these people looking at you and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's easy to get nervous about that. But I want you to know what you're actually doing. It's an answer of good conscience toward God the Father, the one who sent his only begotten Son, that you would even have this opportunity. And what you're doing here today is showing everybody in attendance today what Jesus did for you on the inside. That's what you're showing to them outwardly. That's what this is about today. Praise the Lord. How special this is. After this morning, after the baptism, we're getting ready to have that here in just a minute. We'll extend the right hand of fellowship. And then we'll invite you to come up at least, I guess, one more time. We've shaking hands a few times, but we'll invite you up. Those are the candidates after baptism. Families, if you'd like to come, you can be with them also. We're going to give you the right hand of welcome. I believe that's what, or the right hand of full fellowship this time. There's a few fellowships there, a few shaking hands, but that's all right. That's all right. But if you will, stand with me this morning. I want to have a time of prayer, a time of invitation. I'll invite the ladies to come. You will bow with me this morning.